We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with the bad attitude. Hanging around with the bad attitude, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny just got out of the hospital after 4 months of being in, plus rehab center. It was brutal, but now she's home and she said, get me a bag of that sweet diamond label potion at 27%. I said, I got you covered, Granny, in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fights a party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess. This town's a tatter, my friends splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High this evening. Toll free, the number to get on the bench, 844-843-6879. Toll free, 844-843-6879 to get benched. Later tonight, the Golden Muzzy, your boy, up in Toronto, Nick Alberga, going off on the hockey trade deadline. Before that, we can even talk to Carver High about it because there's been all kinds of activity over the weekend and today with deals. And on Coast to Coast today, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. We just blew through everything and gave an opinion or two real quickly of what we thought was the best deals. And after all the smoke had cleared, Carver High, I know you were happy with Palmieri and Zajac on the Islanders. They didn't do anything else, did they?
No, they pricked up last night a little depth on defense with Braden Coburn. But I thought the thing that stuck out to me, just looking at now all the deals being in the books, is all the teams in the East, you know, the top four teams, all made a significant addition. So they're all going for it. The Islanders added Palmieri. The Bruins added Hall, the Capitals added Manta from Detroit, and the Penguins added Carter. So all four of those teams going for it, that really stuck out to me with how competitive they've been with each other and how competitive these playoff series are going to be between the four of them.
Wow. So they got Braden Coburn. Was he still playing with the Flyers? Where was he these days?
He was with the Light. He won the Cup with the Lightning last year.
Oh, that's
kind of
right.
But he was with Ottawa through the first 2 months of this season. So he signed with Ottawa in the offseason, and now he goes over to the Islanders for a seventh-round pick. So he'll be kind of their sixth, seventh defenseman.
So when you saw the deals like that I talked about today, Janmark, that deal, and then the – you know, the goalie deal out in Colorado where they went out and finally Grubauer, you had talked about it on the show today that they had shored up their goalie situation, which was tenuous at best, even though they're a really loaded team. There's no denying they're loaded. They're up and down. They're streaky and more in a winning way than a losing way, right? Like they, not a losing way, but they actually win in streaks. They get hot for a little while, then they cool off. We welcome our radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline. So it's Farrell on the bench with Carver High. So, you know, it's true, right? They had one goalie, and right, last year it cost them the playoffs because they had no one, you know, that could back up.
Yeah.
And they sucked. So they went out and did a deal. What did you think of the move they made?
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was, because Grubauer is having a great year. He's excellent. He's their top goalie, but he's never gotten it done and proven it in the playoffs. And last year, he got hurt early in the playoffs. So they lose Grubauer. Their second guy goes in, and he wasn't very good, but he gets hurt too. So then they have to go to their third string guy, which was Hutchinson, and he stinks. And he ended up giving up a ton of goals to the Stars in that series and when they got picked off by Dallas. So I think it was very important for Colorado to make sure that they have some good goaltender depth so that if that problem reaches their doorstep again, they're not going to have to start guys like Michael Hutchinson. Now, Dubnyk has been around for a long time, was very good in Minnesota the last few years, and then kind of tailed off, went to San Jose, hasn't done much, but he's better than the options they had behind Grubauer. So that's a big add for them.
So everybody's talking about the deals that Kekalainen made in Columbus, that he got rid of Foligno, I heard, you know, classily, and that they, there's even talk that they may bring him back in the summer for next year.
Yeah.
Which I'll believe it when I see it, but you know, and David Savard as well. Did you like their moves?
Yeah, I did, because they're not going anywhere. They needed some, and what they got, listen, Nick Foligno, I am stunned that they got a first round pick for him. He is not the player he was 5 years ago or 4 years ago, whatever. To get a first for him was an absolute steal, I thought, for Columbus. And they get a first for Savard. So they did a really nice job in their moves, making, you know, getting those kind of assets back for players that were potentially going to be gone in 3 months.
So the Penguins got Jeff Carter. And I don't know, when we come back, we'll see what you think of what I said about it. Like, I like that move a lot if they're a legit cup contender, but I don't think they are. Carter's my size, Carver High, 6'3", 219, big boy, 36 years old now. And, you know, this year, 8 goals, 11 assists, 19 points, a minus 6. Now, when I saw that initially for my team, the Penguins, right, I was like, you know, Jeff Carter's always been a solid player, certainly winning cups and everything else. And he's done really well for the LA Kings, that's for sure. But, I mean, is there some level of you that thinks he's shot?
Well, there's a little bit more than some level. There's a lot of level that thinks he's a little shot. Especially, you know, this year, him and Dustin Brown, for whatever reason, on the Kings, kind of had a little bit of a rebirthing. I felt like the last 2 or 3 years, those guys really looked like they were on the decline.
Right.
But this year, especially Brown and then a little bit more so, you know, Carter, they played a lot better hockey. The age concerns me. The wear and tear concerns me. But I think that, you know, going in for what could be one last playoff run for him, 36 years right. old, I think he'll be super inspired. But I saw somebody make this comparison earlier, and I forget who it was on Twitter, it was somebody, but saying that, this kind of, unfortunately, it kind of feels like what the Penguins did going after Marleau. You know, they brought Marleau in for that trade yeah. deadline. What is it, last year or the year before? They brought Marleau in, and it just, you could tell he was kind of like a shell of himself and didn't really do much, you know?
I think Marleau's way more shot than Jeff Carter.
I agree.
And I think today they, like, benched him for the rest of the year. He's not playing any more hockey. Yeah. Like, I think Sunday was his last game he ever plays.
Yeah, he's washed.
He's
Carter's not that far done. There's no doubt about that. He's not.
Carter's a good rental for the playoffs, but the point is, what I was trying to make is the Penguins aren't winning the Stanley Cup. I always know, like you do, you know when a team's good enough. They're
right.
just not good enough. It's just that simple. You and I, when we get the Stanley Cup finalists, at least one or two of them in there that are legitimate shots, like last year we hit Tampa to win it all, because they really were the best team in the NHL. The cream rises. And I mean, it's the same thing this year. There's a couple teams that stand out clearly. Now look, because of the shorter season and because they've played all the same teams in the division, I think at some level, the playoffs are going to be surprising. I think there's actually going to be upsets galore, because I don't think there's some kind of huge edge over anybody that you've played that many times. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know everything about them. All these teams know everything about each other. So when they start crossing over into these other divisions, I think there's going to be some unfamiliarity, I think there's going to be some upsets. I think that it's anybody's game, but I don't think, you know, I still believe the cream rises to the top. I still think it's like the NCAA tournament. In my view, at some level, you're going to, when you get down to the 8 and 4, you're talking about primarily 1, 2, 3 seeds, right? Like it's pretty much, you know, 1 through 4, you're looking at seeding wise. And in basketball, now hockey's a little different. We've seen eights win it before. I think, you know, anything could happen. Like UCLA was a play-in team. They made it to the Final Four. Anything could happen. So I think there's going to be an eight that, or, you know, a 7 or an 8. Somebody's going to do something crazy in the Stanley Cup playoffs. No one thought Dallas was going to be in the Stanley Cup finals last year.
Right.
But I think, I think that it's going to be really good. And I think a guy like Carter can certainly – help the Penguins in a rental, and they're going to be decent, but they're going out.
Look, it is super rare that the two best teams play each other in the Stanley Cup final. Super rare. I mean, that, you know, it's a little bit of a different format this year, so I can't say, you know, the 2-1 seeds, but like every other year before this, the 1 seed in the West and the 1 seed in the East barely ever play each other in the Stanley Cup finals. In fact, I bet if I looked it up, it's a long time since it's happened. There's usually a team that makes a run. There's a team that gets hot. One of them most of the time gets there, but one side is usually somewhat of a 2 seed or a 4 seed or a 5. You know, there's somebody else that gets in. I'm with you. I think that the playoffs are going to have a different look to them because these first two rounds, you are going to be so familiar with these teams playing them all 8 times apiece. And in the North, you know, the North 10 times apiece because they had the one less team. You know, those Canadian teams are going to play each other 10 times before the playoffs. So, really different dynamic. And I still think the best teams are the best teams, and we know who they are. It's Tampa, it's Vegas, it's Colorado, and I think it's whoever comes out, you know, whoever comes out of that East all has a legit shot. Any of those four teams, I think. Now, I think Boston, I've told you this a few times the past few weeks, I think Boston's a step behind right now. Of the Islanders, the Penguins, and the Caps. I think Boston's a little behind. But I think any of those three teams, whoever comes out, can absolutely beat Tampa in a 7, beat Colorado in a 7, beat Vegas in a 7. I think it's possible. I'm giving no respect to the North. I don't believe that Toronto beats any of these teams, and I don't believe that any of them do.
Do you think Kucherov will come back and that he'll be able to inject his game, which is basically, I mean, let's face facts. At some level, he was the best player in the NHL. And now he's been out the whole year. Now he's going to come back, allegedly. And then he's going to, you know, we saw Stamkos come back and have a goal in the Stanley Cup Finals, but then he got shut down again. Do you think Kucherov will come back and be effective and be a stud and a star like he always has been, and that they're going to lock and load for another run? Or do you think the Florida Panthers can knock him off?
I think that Tampa is going to be in trouble. I really do. I think that the fatigue will hit them. And the way that Florida and Carolina play, I could absolutely see one of those two teams beating them in some long, grueling 7-game series where it just doesn't go Tampa's way in the 7th game and they lose to one of those two teams. I think it absolutely can happen. And I just think it just comes down to, it's so hard to repeat. That's why what the Penguins did in 16 and 17, it just doesn't get enough juice. You know, even as good as the Blackhawks and the Kings were in the early 2010s, winning all those, you know, basically alternating winning cups, none of them did it back-to-back. Because it's so hard to do. They were doing it every other year. The Penguins did it those back-to-back years. It is hard. When the Capitals won, what happened to them the next year? They lost in the first round in 7 because they were out of gas. You know, it's just, it's so hard to go back and do these things. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I agree with you. But I think that in essence, what I'm seeing is, this is my guess right now. My guess is that they already ran out of gas, so they decided to take a vacation, and they're gonna get you know, their swerve on when it starts. And doesn't it, don't they play like 56 games? Isn't that the number? They're 16 games out. Yeah. So it's like a month and a half. So all I know is, well, when does it start? In mid-May?
Yeah, as of now, it's tentatively around May 13th or 14th the playoffs are scheduled to start. So 1 month away.
But I think they extended it to May 16th because of Vancouver.
Because they have some makeups. There's rumors now that the other three divisions might start their playoffs before the North because of Vancouver.
What about Vancouver? Are they going to play every night for 3 weeks?
Yeah, they're going to be in a real bad situation. I think the games that they have against the other teams that are eliminated, you know, the Ottawas, the Calgarys, I think you might see them just get whacked.
We'll talk to the Golden Muzzy later about all of this stuff. And Steph Curry going for Wilt Chamberlain's record tonight. Curry's 4-6 from 3-point, and he's got 14 points. He needs 19 points, which will take another 5 minutes to pass Wilt Chamberlain as the all-time leading scorer. Can you believe that? So he's going to pass Wilt Chamberlain tonight. And I mean, think about it. How long has he been in the league? Seems like, you know, just yesterday, right, that he came into the league. And, I guess some people have short-term memories that, you know, he won those titles and everything out there. He's got three of them, right? And, you know, it's all about him tonight. He's 4-6 already from downtown. He's only shot downtown in this game. And I mean to tell you, he is splashing them in. They're not even touching the rim. They're all net and they're all teardrop. And he is on tonight. Like, so far, he's on. And they're showing, you know, Wilt Chamberlain's jersey in the rafters. And this guy is going to pass him. I mean, that's crazy.
He is on fire.
You know what I mean? I'd like to see overall. I know his stats, but think about it. Oh, God, can you even believe that he's been in the league since 2009? So here he is in 2021, still playing. So 12 years in the league. So he's been in the league even longer than Durant. I think Durant's been in the league 10 years. Looks like 12 years for Curry, unless I'm mistaken. But in 12 years, he passed Wilt Chamberlain. That's crazy when you think about it, because do you think Carver High at all that he's old? He needs 5 points right now to pass him for most points in franchise history. And it's so insane what he's done. Think of it, because he's not done playing at all. That's the thing I'm talking about. This guy is nowhere near close to being done. I mean, he is still absolutely on top of his game. He can light you up like a bong, and he can still run, and he can still he plays a lot of games. You know what I mean? He's not a wussy like these guys like Kyrie Irving and Durant. I love Durant. I mean, the guy is unstoppable. So is Kyrie. But Kyrie Irving never plays. He's already missed 15, 16 games. And Durant missed 24 games. He missed 2.5 months. So, Carver High, can you even believe this guy? He's not even remotely in the neighborhood of being done. 12 years into the league, this guy, he's got at least 3 or 4 really good years left in him, of really good years where he's like legit unstoppable still. No one can guard him, and he scores at will on anybody. And I think he's got 3 or 4 years of that left. And then I think he'll be at a point where he's, got wheels falling off.
He absolutely has. It's crazy that you think that he's been in the league for 12 years. It doesn't feel like that at all. Like, it just doesn't feel like he's been in the league that long. And one of the reasons, though, that he's obviously shot up with so many points is he's such a, is, you know, his three ball, he's just, you know, one of the best of all time with the three ball. So that really adds it up fast, especially you remember him in his younger years, and now it sounds like he has been in the league 12 years when I say it like this. I mean, all that dude did was splash him from half court, right? I mean, that was Steph. That was all you see from Steph, just downtown, boom, 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 boom. And those rack up very quickly when you're an excellent three-point shooter like him.
He's 23-9 for his career, 47.7% from the floor. He averages 4.5 rebounds, 6.5 dimes a game. And when he started his first year, his rookie year, he averaged 17.5. And then 6 years later, he was averaging 30 a game, right? 30 points a game. And then he went 25-3, 26-4, 27-3. In 2019, 20.8, but he got injured. That was when he got injured and didn't play. And then 29.9 last year in 45 games. And now he's played, you know, whatever. This year he's averaging 29.9, shooting 48%. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this guy basically scores, you know, he's 24 points a game for his career added up. But he's literally, you know, the last 6 years of his career, he's averaging, you know, around 29 points. Unless I'm mistaken. I mean, I looked at the numbers. They're insane. I mean, the guy does whatever he wants every night. And off the ball, he's a Pharrellian freak. I was just going to drop a bomb there the size of Texas. I mean,
they like jet airplanes. Woo! They like long limousines. They like fine clothes. They like lovely ladies. And in Studio 54 a week ago, woo! They like jet airplanes. Woo! They like long limousines. They like fine clothes. They like lovely ladies. And in Studio 54 a week ago, woo! I tore them all down.
I saw his daughter tonight throwing a fit on Raw. She's very upset she was not in WrestleMania. She's very
really?
Angry.
She wasn't in WrestleMania? I mean, it was like a week straight worth of matches every single night. She didn't make the card? No, I mean, I felt like every day this week, there was somebody was tweeting about another WrestleMania match.
Yeah, it wasn't. I have no inside information based on my lack of knowledge of wrestling, other than I've heard of, you know, 50% of them I've heard of. I've heard of 50% of the wrestlers, but there's at least 50% I've never heard of before in my life, or and at least haven't seen ever fight. Because I only watch literally wrestling unless I'm stoned. There's only one way to watch wrestling, and that's baked with a bag of Doritos.
How can you possibly expect to be the world champion with a body like that? Them teeny weeny arms and the skinny weeny legs and that so turkey looking neck.
All I know is I love the characters, and they just don't make them like Nature Boy anymore at all.
No, they do not.
There's not one of them. There's literally not one guy that can even remotely compare to him. I mean, is there? There's no one. And the only ones that have even come close are Hulk Hogan and The Rock. Is that about right? And then maybe Steve Austin.
Yeah, he's fun. He's good, too. I mean, you see him stall. I know he hasn't wrestled in a long time, but he had a lot of
time. The Sting and Kane were good, too.
Yeah, but you want guys with a lot of, you know, a little charisma, a little personality, like Flair. I mean, nobody, like you said, there's nobody like him with stuff like that. And I feel like The Rock is kind of the same way. And look at Jesus. Look at what's happened to The Rock since. I mean, the guys, they want the guy to run for president. I mean, it's amazing what's happened to him when you look at films and television and just everything that dude does now. And he's done all that. And it's almost dwarfed what he did in WWE, and he's like the second or third biggest guy that's ever done that in the history of it. It's crazy the life that guy's had.
Do you think that they're going to, like, seriously push that guy?
Yes. Yes.
You really believe it? That he's going to run for president?
Not this next one, but I bet you in maybe 8 years or 12 or something like that, they will. Because this is why, and you know this, nobody wants these people. I mean, look at what's going on. These old politicians, that's the reason why you got the reality star in last time. People were sick of it. And as bad as it was, then they had to go back to the old way. People would look for any reason for something different.
Like Ronald Reagan was an actor that got it.
Right.
Do you actually think, seriously, that he could do that job?
No.
People are so stupid they'd vote him in?
Correct.
Because if
people were stupid enough to vote the one guy in, anybody can be voted in. Let's be fair.
So he already passed him, by the way. Curry already passed Wilt Chamberlain, and he did it in the first quarter of the game tonight. needed 19 points to pass him, and he did it in the first quarter. How embarrassing.
He got 20 points in the first quarter?
Yes.
Wow.
I told you he was lighting it up, but I wasn't paying attention, so I don't really think – I mean, they're all high-fiving him. He just did it. He just broke the record. And now he's coming out of the game, and they're all hugging him and stuff like that. But they didn't stop the game for him. They just brought him out of the game. I'm a little surprised that they didn't stop the game based on who he passed. He passed Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, that's just absolutely crazy. Now he's back in. I don't know what's going on. He went over and gave Kerr a hug, and that was it. I think he's still in the game. I have to look. He's not in the game. He's just standing on the sideline. I don't even know. He is in the game, isn't in the game. I can't see what's going on. Maybe it's replay-itis. But he's on the floor, so he must still be in the game in the first. Anyway, Steph Curry, big night tonight. Past Will Chamberlain, all-time Warriors number one. So, Steph Curry had 20 in the first quarter, his ninth 20-point first quarter in his career. It's not easy to do, drop 20 in the first quarter. He passed Wilt Chamberlain as the Warriors' all-time leading scorer on a three ball. He hit 5 threes in the quarter, and he's already done it. Like, all night the broadcast was about, tonight you're going to see something amazing when Steph Curry passes Chamberlain. All he needs is 19 points. The guy did it in the first quarter. That's crazy. And all I know is, and I don't know the details, all I know is the Nature Boy's daughter, Charlotte Flair, went out tonight and started beating everyone's ass. I mean, she was kicking people in the face. She did a rant as well. She was on the mic blaming everyone for not letting her in WrestleMania. She's livid. So she, in turn, went around and just beat the crap out of everyone that she saw. She just started beating everyone's ass. She probably wants to sleep with me. When you think about it. You know, just over and over when you think about it. But anyway,
if there's a woman out there, what to find out just where she stands in the world of femininity. Jump on the horseman one time, baby. It's an all-night ride.
So there you go. I did not watch 1 minute of WrestleMania again for the, 25th straight year.
I
like watching the highlights, though.
I didn't either. I haven't in a while. And I actually had access to it, too, and I didn't because they now have it on the Peacock streaming app. And I have that, but I still didn't bother to turn it on.
Weren't you with me the night we saw Stephanie McMahon and Triple H at the Kraft Steakhouse in Vegas?
Yes, we saw them. That was before the Pacquiao-Thurman fight, I think.
She's larger.
Oh, no,
than
no,
life.
No. That was before.
It was bigger than that. It was Fury Wilder.
The last one we were at. Fury Wilder. Last before everything shut down. That's when we saw them.
A lot of power in that room. Remember that night we saw them? We saw Dana.
Yeah. Dana
was very upset that we were sitting with those powerful people. That bothered
him. Yes, it did.
You could see his face dropped off his face when he saw me sitting with that woman.
There was a lot of people in that restaurant, yes.
There were a lot of people very upset that Carver High and I were the most powerful people there. They were very upset that we were with them. But it's because these people dig us, and that's it. It's simple. They're like, let's get Pharrell over here.
And I'm at that dinner, I'm basically just trying to hang on by a thread at that point. You know, like, I'm like sitting down for the meal when I'm in Vegas, like, it's a tough chore, you know that, because I'm going at it hard all day. You know, that was a Saturday, so that was no obligations. I probably tied one on all afternoon. I forget what I had going on that day, but there was just action left and right, hockey games. I must have drank, you know, 6 or 7 of those huge, like, you know, 55-ounce beers down there at that bar across from the sports book. And then it's hard for me to sit down for the big meal at that point, but I did, because obviously it's a very important meal.
You remember the day when you went with me to the Cosmopolitan and it was like 110 degrees outside?
Oh,
and we went
my
to that pool
God.
Party.
Oh, it was hot that day. That was a scorcher. That was the weekend of McGregor Mayweather. It was hot that weekend. I mean, it was scorching. Because we went to the Cosmo that afternoon, and then we went to that party that night out in
Summerlin. But did you drank? I think the beer was free at that party.
Yes,
and
yes.
The drinks
they were having their fantasy football draft at the pool at the Cosmo, which is some setup. Just
in 110 degree heat,
in a cabana. I don't know how you could possibly do that, picking the fantasy football team in 110 at a cabana at the Cosmo.
Well,
unbelievable.
Just so you know, the guy that threw that party is a billionaire. That guy.
Oh,
I know him. The money he's got. Literally, like, I think 60 or 70% of the people at that pool were for his party. No one else was welcome.
Yeah, it's very possible.
He bought the pool. And I remember, the only thing I remember, like, if it were now in the COVID year, we'd all be dead, because that pool was a petri dish. It was an absolute. I have never seen more people in a swimming pool in my life. It was like a Philadelphia City pool on a 100 degree day. You couldn't move an inch in that pool. There was bodies all over you, and they were covered in oil. Hunter is covered in oil. And we were just absolutely, I mean, the amount of beers that you drank, that I have pictures. I have photos of that party of us just absolutely raging in the sun. I mean, you had it all going. You had about 5 gallons of 70 block on. You had it all going.
Well, I don't like to get burned. You know,
but you had the sunglasses on and the lube on, and you had free beer, and you were just on another level. I'm on a plane, and we're on a plane. I'm on a plane. I think I'm down. I think I'm insane. All I know is, but I know those guys. They're very rich. I'm friends with those people. I remember going to that party that day. So anyway, yeah, I didn't watch 1 second of it, but I did watch all the highlights of it, which I found interesting. And I saw your boy, and I mentioned him today on Coast to Coast, was Roman Reigns. I think at some level or another, is he not the king of the castle these days? Is he not the man that runs the whole thing at this point?
I'm not very versed in it, but judging by what I see people tweet about, it seems like he's a major player or the top dog or whatever. Yeah, I guess. I don't know who that is.
He's a bad boy, too.
I've heard of Roman Reigns. Yeah. I have heard of him.
Roman Reigns took out two guys at once. One of them was Daniel Bryan. Mm. And the other one was Edge or some guy, the Edge.
Yeah, and I know of Edge. Edge is a guy retired 10 years ago. And, like, he met a neck injury, came back. He was around back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, I know that he hangs out with the guy, what's his name, Paul, whatever, the cheesy mark, the promoter.
Oh, Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman, and he's always got the briefcase of money.
Yeah.
And then, so anyway, he was with Reigns after he won, and Reigns just wanted his respect, because everybody apparently, I don't know, hates him or something.
Wants his respect. I feel the guy's like, I mean, yeah. Like I said, from the outside, seems like the guy wrestles in the main event of WrestleMania every year. I mean, how much more respect do you want?
Yeah. He's the man. He won again. He's the champ. He's the man. But I think that, as I said, I think on Friday's show before the WrestleMania, that I want to sleep with the Bella Twins. Yeah.
I don't know who they are, but I'm sure that they're very attractive.
You've never seen those two chicks?
I don't think so.
You're missing out, son, because they are smoking hot. And they have they become like the Kardashians, these two chicks. They got TV shows. They got clothing lines. They got makeup lines. They got bikini lines. They got, they sell everything. I mean, and they are absolutely gigantic. Gigantic. I mean, larger than life. They've been on every television show ever known to man as a guest. Every one of them. You name it, they've been on it. Name a show, they've done it twice. They've been on everything. They've literally done late night TV and daytime TV and morning TV. They've been on Good Morning America, and they've been on, Fallon, all of them. Every one of them. Multiple times. Like, they're unavoidable. They've done everything. They've written books. They've made movies. They've done it all. Those chicks. They have a TV show. They had a show. I think one of them was, I could be wrong, but I think one of them was actually married to that ugly Daniel Bryan guy. You can't even tell me he's not ugly. The guy looks like something from Deliverance. Seriously. Like, bro, shave that beard, dude. I mean, honestly, yeah, they're like a cheap version of Abe Lincoln.
They're definitely attractive. They're definitely attractive.
Are you looking at him now?
Yes. I am.
I'd sleep with both of them at the same time in front of my wife. She'd jump in, too. They'd probably want her involved. I've had, I've had 34C invited by many a porn star over the years to get in the sack. When I was at Howard Stern, it was a weekly, monthly thing. It was constant. It was every quarter.
Have a fatal four-way match. Isn't that what they do in wrestling? A little fatal four-way.
There you go. I got
you, the Bella Twins, and 34C. There you go. Fatal four-way match.
The other day, I'm doing the project right at the house. So we got it. We got the dumpster. I only got a certain number of days. So we hit the garage, which has been a problem. And the garage is out of control. So I got this guy helping me, and he's young. And then I had the whole family was out there at one point or another. Gunner, Chop, 34C, her friend. She had a friend over, and the contractor kid was there. So there was like nine people in the driveway, right? And we were breaking down crates and everything. Sure enough, I tapped into one of the old crates, the Howard Stern crates. I opened up this crate, and I mean to tell you, like 7,000 porno movies fell out of this thing. I'm talking about all over the driveway. And it was so funny, like Butt Bongo 1 and 2, Nailin' Palin. I had it all going. Like every movie ever made, known to man. And the even funnier, as we're going through boxes, tip over.
You know, that probably didn't go over too well.
Here comes 1,000 Penthouse magazines with articles about me and my friendships with all these porn stars. So, and not only are they stories, but they're like, you know, legal documents where you gotta, when you go to get the divorce and they put the little tag at the top of the page, they're like, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, you know, to let you know where you got to sign. And all these dirty magazines, there's every one of them had an arrow of one of those little stickers of all the girls that I knew. So every time you flipped one, there was another chick that had done the show and that I was friends with. And there's pictures of me with all these chicks. And I mean, they were graphic nudity, graphic, just graphic. And it was just fantastic. And what was even better was that everyone was laughing. Even 34C was laughing. And my kids saw everything. And they're not kids anymore. I mean, they are, but they're in high school and junior high school. So, like, they're like, you know, dad's a hoe. But it was great seeing all my old porn star friends naked again. Are we on the air? Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Boy, did I make a lot of friendships with the wrong people when I was at Howard 101. It was awesome. So anyway, one of the other things, Carver High, that I mentioned while I'm on this terrible tirade tonight about all the things that I found in my garage were like, you know, it's so funny because I got all these gifts when I worked at Howard, right, over the years. It's so funny. There was a chick that worked there, Tracy, and she would give me all these movies. Like every week movies would come in. I mean, like you have no idea, like the – because – everyone there was kind of involved in one way or another in some capacity. I mean, no offense, but it was simple with the AVNs, right? And so there was always some talk of, you know, sex and everything else. And so there was just constant. I remember like Bubba went to those AVNs and all this, and they just constantly sent me stuff. And then this chick got stuff, and then they would just give it to me, endless things. And then I would take them in turn and turn it into funny, you know, gifts and like funny jokes, right? Like I would like leave them in my neighbor's mailbox. I would leave like people, friends of mine and whoever, I would leave toys, like, you know, dirty toys. I'm not talking about kids' toys. I'm talking about just dirty toys, Romantic Depot toys. And I had hundreds of them falling out of stuff this weekend. And it was so funny because every time they'd open up a crate, more would fall out. And then all of a sudden, here comes this crate with like 1,000 movies. And I mean, they were so raunchy, the names of them. If I went down there right now, because I saved them, I didn't throw any of them out. I saved them because they're so fantastic. Sure enough, we go through another case and all the like hundreds of penthouses come falling out. And all of them, half of them have stories about me interviewing these girls. And I'm friends with all of them. And every time, and they still tweet me to this day and follow me. Carver High said that if I don't go to Mass, I'm going to end up in hell. He told me, if I don't go to Mass, I'm going to go to hell.